Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What do you make of left tackle Braxton Jones becoming the third active Bears player out tonight with a concussion? Roschon Johnson, Ryan Bates also remain in the protocol. Brisker has been on IR with the same injury. Is Jones the most needed player since the Bears failed to score a TD in the two games he missed earlier this year versus the Cardinals and the Patriots?
Well, I don't think he's the essential player on the roster. I think he's a good player, and I think you need your starting left tackle. It always scares you when you hear about concussions, and this is similar to the way this has affected a lot of players, where you come out of the game and everything's clear, you're going into practice, you're preparing, and all of a sudden, midweek, late in the week, you're feeling concussion problem. I'm nauseous, whatever it is. You have these issues that are staying with you. It's just a very scary thing. I think it's good that the NFL is on top of it. It's a good sign that so many people are taking this seriously and we're not messing with brain injuries. But boy, is that's just scary. It is ugly. And I don't think that Braxton Jones is what's going to stop them from scoring tons of points tonight. But I don't think it's going to help them score many points. So it's a bad injury. You feel bad about it. And there's a lot of guys suffering it. And like I said, maybe this is just a sign that the league is more on top of this than they've been before.
You know what's scarier than a concussion? Larry Borum protecting the quarterback, Caleb Williams, who's been hit more than any quarterback in the league this year. That's scarier than a concussion. I mean, and I'm really curious, how are they going to line this thing up tonight? Could you see like three moves happening? Any chance that Darnell Wright is moved from right to left so that Jake Curhan could play with Jake Curhan? I mean, Larry Borum was a healthy scratch last week. Healthy scratch.
Now he's the left tackle.
Remember what happened in the Bears game when they were trying to win on Thanksgiving. Larry Borum was in and had a miserable couple of snaps. So that's scarier to me than a concussion. I'm super curious how the Bears are going to line this thing up tonight.
Just for the record, there's really nothing scarier than a brain injury on a football team.
Larry Borum protecting your prize quarterback.
There's really nothing scarier than a brain injury on a football team. I understand why Larry Borum is such a step down, but also there are two things in play here. first of all, you've got a strapping left tackle, a big man, a professional athlete, 6 days later reporting concussion symptoms. Okay, that to me is frightening if you are a professional football player, because who saw it coming? He practiced all week. Was he on the injury report? I don't think
no,
he was.
No.
He was overwhelmed and overmatched against San Francisco. So separate to what they're missing on the field or what they might be missing on the field is that you've got a professional football player 6 days later after contact, whether it was subconcussive hits in practice or whatever happened, reporting symptoms from a concussion that happened almost a week earlier.
Scary.
That's scary. All right, then there's the football component. There's a drop-off between Braxton Jones and his backup, whether it's Larry Borum or Kerrigan. They're not moving Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright is quietly having a very good season on the right side. The stats and metrics back him up. He doesn't always show on tape, but he's having a very solid year at right tackle. Braxton Jones was not doing his job very well against the 49ers. You're going to miss him, but I think there's an element of him being overrated. He's the best left tackle the Bears have. I don't know if he's a starter on a playoff team. And I think the Bears are going to probably come to that conclusion at the end of the season when they evaluate what to do at that position moving forward. So two things are true. Yeah, they're going to miss him. I don't know how much. I don't know how good they were with him in there. But secondly, it's a serious situation when you're dealing with a concussion to somebody like that this late after the fact.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, 8 a.m. is Biggs time. How big was the Cubs trade for Kyle Tucker? What's your first reaction, and what does it do for the 2025 expectations?
My first reaction was, wow, this is a great deal. My other reaction was, wow, this is the biggest trade the Cubs have made since 2016. I really believe that. I really think that since they traded for Aroldis Chapman, that deal that helped them win a World Series, I can't think of another trade they have made exchanging players to get a guy this good, this potentially impactful, and this universally celebrated about him coming to Chicago. We urged Jed Hoyer to take a risk. He took one. They wanted and needed a star. They got one. He's going to be in the middle of that lineup. I don't know if Cody Bellinger will be around him. Probably not. I would love that. I don't know who else is going to be around him. They're not done yet. I'd love that. This is a front office that is serious about winning next year. And you might say, well, you know, they gave up a lot. Yes, they did. They gave up Cam Smith, the first-round draft pick. Yes, they did. But let's remind everybody, you've got a team executive in entering the final year of his deal. Jed Hoyer is not worried about 2027. For Jed Hoyer, the future is now, and now looks pretty good.
Great point about Jed Hoyer. The future is immediate. The 2025 season is what's next for him, and he is, you know, out of contract after this year. So he's all in based on what he can do. David, I said last night as we recorded a Fly the W670 podcast that I want to now see them keep Cody Bellinger. I want to see what Tucker and Bellinger look like in this lineup. Now, if it's not working out, okay, then go ahead and trade him at the trade deadline. But come on, let's maintain the idea that we're playing big boy baseball in Chicago on the north side. Like, they're going to spend money, and they are. They are spending money. They're still like $25 or $30 million under that first tax threshold. So there's an opportunity to, you know, go for it with one more guy, and we'll see. I mean, maybe we get another Astro in here to play third base at least for a year. So, yeah, they gave up something. Paredes, see ya, right? I mean, no, get out. You know, let open the door for Matt Shaw or somebody else to come in and play third base. That experiment didn't work out. And Hayden Wisniewski just wasn't seemed to get it. And supposedly that was the reason this deal happened. They had to throw Hayden Wisniewski in. Okay, like, he might end up being decent with them. It wasn't working here. I'm excited that they need a bat. The guy's got a bat. His numbers to Soto are very, very similar. Assuming he can stay healthy, can he play outdoors all the time. He's not going to get half of his games in the temperature-controlled dome, so that's something else you got to think about and worry about. But I'm pretty happy, and I hope Cub fans are as well.
Yeah, you know, the first thing that went through my mind is exactly what David said. Wow, Jed Hoyer's, he's got to play to win. This is it. I thought, wow, they paid full price for a full-price player. And I thought, wow, this guy's going to be in a contract year. You're going to get the absolute best that Kyle Tucker has because he needs that to get paid. I thought to myself, this guy is the new, like, Chicago sports hero. He's going to be playing. This is a lot like the Soto thing where you come into a team and you want to be a star and you want to get them to a World Series. You want to leave it all on the field and you want to be the best guy on the roster because you want to get paid like that at the end of it. I mean, there is a lot of must win going on right now for the player, for the team president, and really for the everybody connected to it. This is a win now move, and there's no more hanging on to players and hoping everybody grows up together and all that stuff. So you gave away a guy who has made an all-star game, a pitcher that was very promising, once your most promising pitcher, not that long ago, and a guy that you think can be a really good player, an injured player, but a guy that was, you know, how high was he drafted? 12th, 4th, 14th, something like that? It's a first-round draft pick.
Cam Smith, 14th, I believe,
14th.
Yes.
14th. I mean, that's a lot to give up, but it's the cost of playing poker. That's what it is.
Wisniewski there, or Wisnasty?
Well, first of all, that'd be a question for Hoyer and his budget.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine and, of course, David Haw. Bruce will be here at 7:25. Do you think Jed Hoyer is done wheeling and dealing, or is there a companion move to the Kyle Tucker move? What are the Cubs still missing, and what's spurring Hoyer the most?
Well, I think that the companion move might be trading Bellinger, as much as you don't want to hear it. They apparently are in talks with the Yankees. They've come to a little bit of an impasse because the Yankees want them to pick up more money, and they don't want to pick up money on this deal. So the companion piece is they're trying to save more money. I'm sure that's for pitching, to turn around and upgrade their pitching. If they don't trade Seiya, I think they're going to end up trading Hoyer. And I think, end up trading Bellinger. And I think Bellinger is probably the guy that they're going to, they want out of that contract. That's fairly obvious to me. And I think that they're probably going to get that deal done at some point, whether you like it or not. I think that's coming. I think that they got some moves to make. I think they look like that. The lineup looks like it's going to be pretty good. So I would feel good about the Cubs in that division.
Well, I think the lineup looks better with Bellinger than Suzuki. So if I have to choose as a fan which one I'm saying see ya to, it's see ya, say ya. But there could be, you know, Bellinger then plays first base, and then you move Michael Busch to second base. Sounds like Nico Hoerner might be on the move to Seattle. That's where you might be getting some pitching in return. But again, if you're going to dump Bellinger, then tell me that you're buying Pete Alonso. Right? Like, okay, we're going to save the money on Bellinger, but we're going to then take the money from the Bellinger and we're going to go buy Pete Alonso. Because I'm surprised they haven't heard a ton of Yankees in Pete Alonso, right? You haven't heard that a whole bunch, and you think maybe that would, you know, from the rivalry standpoint, the New York rivalry, like, okay, you took Soto, so we'll take Alonso, and then we bought Max Fried, so this is the way we're going to try to, you know, fight against that. But don't get rid of Bellinger and then stop. That's not what I'm looking for as a fan. That's not enough.
It can't stop if they do that, because I hope the $10 million impasse between the Yankees and the Cubs gets to the point where they can't solve it and they just keep him and see what they can do with him and bite the bullet and pay him the money because he's worth keeping. He's worth keeping. That's my stance today. And until they trade him, that'll be my stance because I think they're better with him. I don't understand If it's just a salary dump, you can try to afford Cody Bellinger. You are a big market team. You just proved it, Jed. So if you are serious about winning next year, you're a better team offensively. That lineup is dangerous with Cody Bellinger and Kyle Tucker in it. Now, the companion move could be pitching. If you're using Nico Hoerner as the lure for Luis Castillo in Seattle, I kind of like that. Even though I love Nico, even though I want to wait and see how it would feel the day that he gets traded, I won't like that day, but I understand that temptation. I also saw some rumor linking them to Dylan Cease. Yikes. Okay, sign me up. What does it take? If you can go out and get another ace and add it to the pitching rotation, then you are seriously having an offseason. Sasaki, maybe their presentation is mind-blowing, and it's better than all the others. Any other PowerPoint presentation?
Jerry by the side of the house.
And I think you have to look at pitching. And then all this is overlooking the fact that maybe they still need a closer.
I mean, is that really a question?
It's really a question. After talking to Chris Getz on Friday, which way do you think he's leaning when it comes to what to do about Luis Robert Jr.? How surprised are you that Getz left the door pretty open to Robert remaining a long-term option here on the South Side?
I thought he did. I didn't expect that answer, I guess. I thought that maybe he would talk around it and be more committed to getting something for him. I don't know that this is the ideal time, as we have talked about, to trade Luis Robert Jr. or to shop him. I think keeping him, rehabilitating him, and then maybe dealing him is the best way to go about it. But at the same time, if he is fixed and he starts to get off to a hot start, they want to sign him long term to make him a foundation piece. That's intriguing as well. So he left the door open skillfully. I thought that was a good sign. And I think that Chris Getz represented himself pretty well in the station on Friday morning, and it reflected just how happy he is to have a little bit of credibility attached with the move that he makes.
Yeah, I don't see Luis Robert Jr. getting moved now in the offseason. If anything, you'd move him at the trade deadline for somebody that's looking to fix a problem, fix an injury, that believes they are in it. And if signing him long-term, okay, he's still young, right, relatively speaking. So make an investment in this guy. Make an investment in some player to give the fan base, like, you know, the guy. He is the guy we're building around, and he has the tools to build around. He's worth building around. So that wouldn't be awful either.
You know, I feel like that was a bit of a tease. I feel like they're going to move Luis Robert Jr., whether they do so now or they do so at the trade deadline. I feel like it's sort of a fait accompli. And I think that the move that they should do is to rehabilitate him, to get their new hitting guru working with him, to make him better as a player and back on track as an all-star. And then you could go ahead and trade him. So, you know, there's always the danger that one more injury ruins his value for good, one more strain, pop, or tear, and that's that. So I understand the hesitation to do that, but I just don't think there's a market out there for him right now that's near what he potentially could be worth. So I would hang on to him, and I would try to rehabilitate him, and then probably move him when you get closer toward the trade deadline. I also think, you know, you mentioned that somebody wrote somewhere that they should go after that Milwaukee first baseman. Give him $20 million.
Reese Hopkins,
then turn him around at the trade deadline when people are in need of bats. There's a lot of guys out there now. Why aren't they playing a little higher economic kind of baseball turnaround, if that's exactly what they need to do? You might be able to get even more for if you got involved in something like that. I like that idea. Look around, bring someone else in here, and then move them if you have to. But be smart about it.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
You know, it's a question that we can't really answer. It's a hypothetical.
That's the voice of Brian Baldinger. He's with you guys at 9:25. How surprising was it that the Bulls played so well Friday night without Vooch? And was that a glimpse of what we can expect from the Bulls minus Vooch if he is eventually traded? With his value increasing during a strong season so far, will Vooch be the first shoe to drop?
It doesn't seem like there's a big market for Vooch, and it doesn't seem like they've got a reasonable expectation for the return on Vooch. You know, they're still dealing with having to give away a protected draft pick for him. And if they finish in the top 10, they don't get that pick. So, you know, if they don't finish in the top 10, they don't get that pick. So they're still paying the price for him, and their value for him is probably higher than it needs to be. But we'll see what happens. I thought the biggest story on Friday, not that they made them all, but they attempted 50 trades for the third time in three games.
That's crazy.
And they've done it. Apparently, KC tweeted, that they've done that seven times all this year. I mean, that's crazy. That is crazy that they're taking 50 trades a game. That is. It is. So it's a fun element to watch tonight. How many threes are they jacking up? And, you know, hey, Vooch can throw them up there, too. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't matter if he's playing.
Yeah, Justin? I mean, they were favored in this game. What?
The pregnant pause made me think you fell asleep.
No. They were favored in the game, so I'm not surprised. The Hornets are awful, but that's what it could look like. But I agree. I don't think the market is like super hot for Vooch. I think you're going to need an injury somewhere in the association for a team to be in need of him. But I'm happy that he is playing as well as he is.
He's put himself in the position to be traded by adapting as quickly as he has to this new style of play. You said seven games they've had 50 or more three-pointers. That's remarkable that he's not been lost in the shuffle, because this is a guy that, you know, he takes his threes. Last year, that was a bad idea. This year, not so much. So I think he's been better. The big trade in the NBA over the weekend, Dennis Schroeder went from the Nets to the Warriors. I saw some of the evaluation analysis of that deal. The Warriors are trying to wait to see how that affects their output. Maybe they're still in the market for offense. Maybe they would be a team to look at for Vooch down the road. That would be a possibility. The longer this goes, and now we're mid-December, and the Bulls are playing at the rate that they're playing at, you do wonder, when does the sell-off begin? When does that, you know, signal they're picking a lane? Because right now it does feel like they have good games, they have not-so-good games. They have good great games, and they have a clunker. It was very up and down. And you wonder, are they going to be good enough? Are they going to get better playing the style? And then they're going to have more consistency? Or are they going to start unloading people and make it obvious what direction they're headed? So still kind of wait and see. But Vooch has been a part of he's been more part of the solution than the problem.
You don't believe. Next question.
Next question. Did the Heisman Trophy voters get it right by naming cornerback, wide receiver, Travis Hunter, the 90th winner of the iconic trophy? Hunter was selected over Boise State running back Ashton Gentry in the closest vote since 2009. And while a two-way star, is the first defensive player since Charles Woodson in 1997, it marked only the fifth time this century a quarterback did not win the Heisman.
I think they got it right. Travis Hunter is the best player in America, because he excels and is a blue player, a plus player, an impact player on both sides of the ball. That's hard to do. It's hard enough to be an impactful, game-breaking wide receiver and then an elite cover corner. He is both. And so by virtue of that, against the competition that Colorado plays, I think it probably helped him that he played in a program that got so much attention because of Deion Sanders. That is part of the reality of college football and the sports media world we live in. That may not be fair to Ashton Gentry. And you heard some of that maybe resentment in Ashton Gentry's voice when he talked about he should have walked away with the Heisman Trophy. Those numbers are phenomenal for Gentry. Nobody's taking away anything from his season, his career. Finishing second in the Heisman Trophy is nothing to be ashamed of. Certainly, I understand why he wouldn't celebrate it. But when the dust settles, I think that he'll look back at a historic college career himself. I don't think a running back from the Mountain West Conference is going to be the Heisman Trophy winner. And that's with due respect to every mid-major program out there. I know Boise State's in the playoff. They're there for a lot of different reasons. But I don't think the Heisman got it wrong. Travis Hunter gave a great speech, and they got it right.
I'm surprised the vote was as close as it was, to be honest. If anything, that is more the, I mean, this is the best wide receiver and best defensive back in the country. It was, to me, it was a no-brainer. If I was the third or fourth guy, I might not have even gone because I wasn't going to win other than getting a free trip to New York. And I don't know how great it is to get a free trip to New York, to be all honest.
Come on. You'd have gone.
Did you
see how happy Dylan Gabriel looked?
Yeah, he finished third. I agree with what you're saying, David. I thought Travis Hunter was the obvious choice. He was the odds-on favorite choice. And I didn't think it really was that close. And, you know, I love Gentry. I love his reaction. I think that kid's going to have a good career. And I think his response is probably how you should feel, like he got cheated out of something. But I don't think he was. I think that what Travis Hunter did this year was unbelievable. And you look at the fact that he played. Look how many plays the guy played. It's extraordinary that you can do that at the college level. Just really impressive stuff. He's a great player, and he's going to be a good pro. He's going to be a really good corner. I find it fascinating. I know the century is relatively new. We're in 2024, but only 5 non-quarterbacks is pretty extraordinary. It really is a quarterback award. And there were some good quarterbacks this year, but nowhere near the last couple of years. And so I think that's reflected. The transfer thing still fascinates me. Gentry, if you wanted to vote for a guy that stayed in the same program, he'd be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that should count. So it was good. I like the Heisman this year.
First round pick?
Gentry? Probably, but not a high, like not
low first.
Maybe mid first. Yeah. Probably mid first round pick. Definitely a first round pick.
Not for a team that needs offensive linemen, though.
Well, that's the problem.
But in terms of the Bears,
I think he's real good.
Yeah, I do too.